If you've got questions about public media funding, we've got answers. Our quick guide explains what's at stake for WSHU, what we know so far, and how you can help. It's all in one place. Just visit WSHU.org.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Union workers at Pratt and Whitney are on strike. New York's AG sues the Trump administration over firings at HHS, plus what it's really like for refugee families that resettle in Connecticut. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Union workers at Pratt and Whitney are walking the picket line today after voting to go on strike this weekend. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports they're trying to keep up a 24/7 protest presence.
Union officials say they're protesting for job, wage, and retirement security. The vote to strike was overwhelming. Nearly 80% of those who participated in the vote were in favor. Negotiators say they won't return to the table until the company makes a serious offer. But Pratt and Whitney officials say they stand by their latest offer, which includes wage increases and bigger pension and 401k payments. Governor Ned Lamont is urging both sides to negotiate in good faith. The last machinist strike was in 2001. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
A large part of Eisenhower Park on Long Island remains inaccessible to the public following the T20 Cricket World Cup held there last summer. WSHU's Ada Uzenlar has more.
It's been almost a year since the Cricket World Cup was hosted on Long Island. More than 150,000 people attended, which meant creating a massive temporary stadium with a $30 million price tag. That's all gone now, but the space is still fenced off. Eisenhower is the largest park on the island. Ground that parkgoers usually sunbathe and picnic on is covered in topsoil. The Nassau County Executive Office told Newsday that the grounds are being updated to include a new softball field and space for youth and higher-level cricket matches. They say the space will be returned for public use by early fall. Ada Uzenlar, WSHU News.
New York Attorney General Letitia James filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration over cuts to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So far, HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has combined several departments and fired thousands of workers. James says she wants the courts to overturn Kennedy's firings.
We are asking the court to halt the unlawful dismantling of HHS, to stop the mass firings, and to restore the life-saving programs that millions of Americans depend on, including 9/11 responders, children, and New Yorkers whose lives depend on HHS.
James says the cuts hurt medical research and disease prevention. Connecticut AG William Tong, along with 18 other states, have joined in on the lawsuit. Coming up, one refugee family's experience arriving in Connecticut. That's ahead.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Do you feel the spirit of adventure? I'm Davis Donovan.
And I'm Emily Boyer, and we invite you to travel with us to the green hills of Ireland.
See 1,200-year-old illuminations in the Book of Kells.
Stand at the edge of the sea on the cliffs of Moher.
Hear storytelling at the heart of the nation.
And hear musicians keeping traditional music alive.
At the end of the day, raise your pint at a traditional Irish pub.
Join us for an unforgettable trip to Ireland this September.
See all the details and sign up at WSHU.org.
All the charm without the crowds. Travel and Leisure Magazine's top 10 list of laid-back Northeast beach towns include a few from our region in Connecticut, Madison, and Mystic, and on Long Island, Long Beach, and Shelter Island. The magazine named Shelter Island the best for couples. The votes are in. Connecticut residents selected their top pizza places for the state's Pizza Capital Trail. The full trail will eventually feature 100 spots, but for now, tourism officials have unveiled the top 20. The top three can be found in New Haven, no surprise, Modern, Frank Pepe's, and Sally's. The Nassau County Police Department spent $80 million on overtime pay last year, according to Newsday. That's over budget by 64%. Police Commissioner Patrick Ryder says that's due to a number of high security events like the Cricket World Cup, which we mentioned before, and multiple campaign rallies for President Trump. AAA is urging New England drivers to be careful with more motorcycles on the road as the weather gets warmer. Mark Shieldrop with AAA Northeast says that despite a national decline in traffic deaths, Connecticut recorded 55 fatal crashes involving motorcycles in 2023.
In the Northeast, we're pretty proud of being kind of ahead of the rest of the country in many different categories, but it looks like when it comes to traffic deaths, we're heading in the wrong direction compared to some of our friends in other parts of the country.
Shieldrop says the most collisions happen because distracted drivers often don't see motorcycles on the road. It's a challenging time to be navigating the U.S. immigration system for resettlement agencies and refugees alike. WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's Laura Tillman, part of the collaborative podcast Long Story Short. Tillman's latest article explores one family's experience arriving in Connecticut.
Hello, Laura. You tell us the story of the Syed Rahim Rahim family to illustrate the chaos that legal Afghan refugees trying to settle in Connecticut are now going through. How did you find the family, and what's unique about their story?
I got a call. I had written a story about refugee resettlement and the funding cuts that were coming through from the Trump administration in January and kind of the fallout of that in February. And I'd written about a woman who came from Nigeria years before. She'd been helped by IRIS to resettle. And so kind of the question naturally in a way was, well, what would that whole picture look like now that this, you know, these funding cuts have come through, these organizations are laying off a lot of their employees, giving up office space. And so the head of IRIS let me know in February that this family had just come from Qatar. They are an Afghan family, but they had been living in a refugee camp in Qatar for a few months, and they had been anxiously awaiting the day of their flight to come to the U.S. They had their passports issued. They had special immigrant visas. And so really, they were just waiting for the flight. And then one of the things that happened in January was flights for about 1,600 Afghans in that situation were canceled by the Trump administration. And so just merely the way of getting from point A to point B was the only obstacle.
They were actually living in a hotel room for almost a year, right?
Before getting to Qatar, to the refugee camp, they had been living in a hotel for about a year in Kabul. In general, their lives had just become extremely restricted since the U.S. left Afghanistan in 2021. Syed Rahim Rahim, along with his brothers and brother-in-law, had all worked with U.S. Armed Forces, in his case, as an automotive mechanic. His brothers had worked as translators. And this implies, you know, putting yourself in a huge amount of danger for retribution from the Taliban. And when the U.S. left Afghanistan in 2021 and the Taliban took over the country like almost instantaneously, their lives became very restricted. Syed decided to take his son, who was then 7, out of school. And so, yeah, they had been living, waiting to be able to come to the U.S. for a very long time in very difficult circumstances. So then their flight was canceled. And fortunately, his brother-in-law was able to use his savings to purchase plane tickets for this family. We're talking about 7 plane tickets from Qatar to the U.S.
Under normal circumstances, aren't those plane tickets paid for once you've been cleared?
Normally, yes.
So now the burden fell on them to find the funds to pay for their own passage to the U.S.
Yes, and very quickly, because their passports were going to expire. There had been issued these short-term passports that were going to expire. So they had this pretty tight time frame to find the money, buy new tickets, and get here.
So when they get here, what happens?
So normally, when a family in this situation would have gotten here a few months ago, Iris would have been ready for them. And in the case of this family, you know, Iris had been planning to resettle them before funding was cut and all these staff members were let go. But then, you know, they found out that their flight had been canceled. Everything was kind of up in the air. But under normal circumstances, they would have had an apartment ready for them. Really just a sense of things being a baseline for starting a new life, an apartment, clothes, a fridge full of food, a Iris resettlement worker to help enroll the kids in school quickly, get the family medical appointments, figure out what the parents needed to do if the father was trying to get a job, different leads on that, all of these different things. Down to, you know, the organization kind of prided themselves on even having a home-cooked meal of Afghan dishes ready for them the night that they would arrive in their new home. And really, the sense for a lot of people that this is like a very happy moment to come. You know, it's a difficult moment to leave your home, but that at the same time, a lot of people who are coming, they're escaping traumatic situations and they're really waiting for this day to come and start this new life.
How was their experience different?
Yeah, so their experience was quite a bit different. Instead of the International Organization for Migration figuring things out with them at the airport, helping get them to Connecticut, instead, Syed Rahim Rahim's brother-in-law met them at the airport. He brought them to his own home, what was already a pretty full house with his wife and three kids. They welcomed this family of two parents, five young children, and the mother is also pregnant. She is due later this month. So they didn't know where they were going to live. They didn't know if they were going to get any help from the resettlement agency or not. They kind of had to figure out a lot of stuff. With, thankfully, the help of their family members, they do have quite a number of family members who are here who did, you know, lend a hand. And Iris has done many things for this family that they're able to do, but it's just not the level of constant contact and just readiness that they would have had before.
Okay, thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you.
Laura Tillman is the Connecticut Mirror's Human Services Reporter. I'm Ebon Odama.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. It was mentioned at the top of this podcast, but I'll say it again here. If you have any questions about how federal funding cuts to NPR would impact us here at WSHU, head on over to our website. We have a quick guide on there that lays it all out for you. And again, that's at WSHU.org. If you're not already, give us a follow on Instagram for some behind the scenes. We're at WSHU Public Radio, and send any thoughts or story ideas to us via email. It's news at WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.